Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to look at Paul here in Ephesians and in Philippians and Colossians, Paul's prayers for the saints. Now, these are prayers that can be prayed for any Christian. Any Christian. So how many Christians we got in here tonight? Let me see your hand. All right. Well, these are prayers that I could pray for you. I can place your name right in here. Or that you could pray for yourself. Sometimes, well, what should I pray? Well, here's four different prayers we're going to look at tonight briefly. And just kind of not to go a whole lot in depth, but there's one aspect of it that I want to bring out. And I was really going this direction, and then, oh my goodness, Pastor Hagin just almost preached a stem winder this morning. He wound us up like you would around a stem boy, and just, woo, glory to God. He got to preaching, and I got to think, well, Lord, but he was talking about there, that it's important what you think, because what you think, how you think affects what you believe, and of course, how you believe affects what you say, and what you say affects what you have. Well, one of the aspects of that, of believing right, is to have the proper knowledge. And I want to bring this up. Paul evidently thought that there were some things that we needed after we were saved for us to do and for us to pray. You know, sometimes, and I thank God, how many of you know that Jesus isn't coming back to do any more work? He's done the work. Amen. His work as the sacrifice, he's done all that. Yet he ever lives to make intercession for us. We know that. It's not like he's just has been on holiday for about 2,000 years. Okay? I was thinking about, joking about if you need, counseling or spiritual advice because we're losing the pink line or the carpet. Brother Marvin said, I'm not going to be here the whole year. So I'm out the whole year. There's no appointments available for carpet counseling. All right? For me. That's just a thought there. Just throw that out there to you. But Jesus says, it's not like he's been on a holiday all these years, but yet he's not going to shed anymore. He shed his blood. He's not going to the cross. He's been there. He's not taking any more stripes, but to obtain healing, he's obtained healing. The chastisement of our peace, your peace of mind, it's already been taken care of. It was on him. Isn't that right? He has done the work. He has done the work. But yet you find out, if you read the Word of God, you realize as you read it that there God has his part and he's thoroughly done. And then we have our part. And the thing about our part, he helps us do our part. All right. So let's look at these prayers. First, Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. Here we can pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you, who that? The saints and the faithful, every believer, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now notice this, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I mean, if you just knew those three things, my, what a place we'd be at. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from that resurrection power. We're to know that resurrection power. All right. And that he has set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. God wants us to know. He wants us to know his calling on our life. He wants us to know the riches of his inheritance, the glory of it. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power that not only raised Christ from the dead, but seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places and gave him authority over everything. He wants us to know that and our place in it. Look over in chapter 3. Now, I don't know about, when I got born again, I didn't know any of those things, right? You don't have to know those things. You have to know God raised Jesus from the dead, right? But you don't have to. But boy, you have to know it to live the Christian life. Okay. Now here in Ephesians 3, again, a prayer that can be prayed for any Christian. Verse 14, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height. Glory to God. How wide is this love? How long is this love? How deep does this love go? How high will it go? Glory to God. And to know, everybody say, to know the love of Christ. Oh, glory to God. Which passes knowledge, or mere just human knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I'm thinking over in Colossians where it says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he said in chapter, in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here he wants, Paul's praying that all of us would know, that we would have this knowledge of God's love, the love of Christ, that passes just the understanding of just natural love, that it's so beyond what happens, that it's not just two-dimensional, it's not just three-dimensional. Praise God, it's four-dimensional. What does that mean? This love blows your mind. You can't comprehend it with your mind. Hallelujah. It is a spiritual force, glory to God. And that we might know it, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. God, the love of Christ. So great is God's love that his plan of redemption was that he knew this. He knew everything that he wanted us to know that love. And to receive of that fullness. So he put the fullness in Christ because he knew he was going to put Christ in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Down here on the inside. Down here on the inside. Say it. The fullness of God is in me. Because Christ is in me. And in him is the fullness of God. Now, he wants us to have knowledge of that. And the word knowledge here is not just, you know, you learn. It's you're living in the reality of that knowledge. It's a living knowledge. In other words, it impacts every thought you have, every idea you have, every action you take is impacted by that knowledge. Amen? What if you had knowledge? Of course, you know, some of this in natural sense, if you have certain knowledge and you act on it, it's against the law. That's called insider trading. So, don't, you know. But if you had knowledge that told you exactly what was going to take, would you govern your thoughts and your ideas and your actions towards that? Absolutely. Well, God wants to give us that kind of knowledge. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and to lead us in all truth and even show us things to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's keep reading here. And to know the love of Christ, verse 19 says, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now let's look in Philippians chapter 1. Here's another one of Paul's prayers for the saints. Evidently, it's good to pray for other Christians. Amen. But you know, we could pray these prayers for ourselves, could we not? Put yourself in there. You know, you can hear in verse 9, he says, and this I pray, Philippians 1, 9, that your love. Well, how about this I pray, that my love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Or I could put your name, and I'll put Amanda. This I pray, that Amanda's love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. You see how that would work? That Amanda, or that I, or that whoever you're praying for may approve things that are excellent. But notice that, abound the love of God, that your love may abound yet more and more. And that's the word agape there. The love of God that's in you may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. The word judgment there could be translated as discernment. Discerning. What's that mean? Knowing how to apply the love of God to every person in every situation. You know, God knows that, doesn't he? Well, can he get that knowledge to us? Absolutely. And Paul says, I pray that your love, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. Excellent. Glory to God. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. How many of you are seeing there's some things we need to know after we come to Christ? Right? There's some things that we need to have God's knowledge on. God, knowledge that comes from the Word of God. Yes, some of it will come by revelation knowledge. God will reveal it. Other of it's going to come by the study of the Word of God. All of it is intended for us to help us to govern our thoughts. Amen. To govern what we believe. To govern our actions and what we say, glory to God. To produce God's results. And then Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 9. Now, Colossians and Ephesians are known as sister epistles. In other words, there's over 50 verses that are almost identical in these two books, written to Christians in the same area of the world at the time. But yet they're not exactly the same, but they are similar. So this prayer, you'll see there's some similar things here to the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. But he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now notice that evidently this knowledge is just then not natural human knowledge because it's spiritual understanding. It takes a spiritual understanding of these things. I remember in First Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, where Paul talked about how you know, these things are not discerned by the natural man. The spirit of man has to discern these things, right? It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank God when you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's there to help us, to lead us and guide us here, to help us to come into this the knowledge that we have need of. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, we're to increase. We ought to know more. Now, not just so we can pass a test, but we ought to know more about God next year than we did this year. Does that make sense to you? Why? Well, we got more to walk in, more to do for him, more to accomplish. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of this inheritance of the saints in light. I'm going to keep reading here because he hasn't finished his sentence yet. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, glory to God, and has translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones and dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Whoo, my. That's some knowledge that just doesn't come naturally, does it? But that's knowledge that he says we are to increase in that knowledge. And that we might be even filled with that knowledge. You know, Hosea, in fact, Jordan, I'm sorry, I didn't put these on my list, but let's open up to Hosea chapter 4 real quick, then Isaiah chapter 5. Hosea chapter 4, right before Joel, right? Hosea chapter 4, the knowledge of God, knowledge, and of course, the wisdom to apply that knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge. There's another thing to have the wisdom to apply the knowledge. Amen. Now, there are warnings about just getting knowledge. The Bible says knowledge can puff you up. You know. But it is important that we know these things. Or he wouldn't have prayed that we know. But in here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Here the prophet speaking as the prophet of the Lord's on behalf of the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you. Thank God we're in Christ. We're not rejected, right? But there's a principle there about knowledge. Don't reject the knowledge that you see and that God's bringing to you. He said, you come destroyed. Now, it's interesting, that word destroyed, again, I'm not a linguist, I'm not a Bible language scholar, but I can read what others say. And I know in Strong's Concordance, it says this, This comes from, the word destroyed here comes from the word that at its root means to be dumb and silent. In other words, not speaking. My people become silent because of lack of knowledge. See, when you don't know what to say, what do you say? See, that's why we need this knowledge. What do I say about this situation? What do I say from God's word? You heard Pastor say it all the time. If you ever heard Brother Hagin, he said it all the time. What? What does God's word say about this? And then say what God's word says about it. My opinion about it will not help me overcome that unless my opinion agrees with the word of God. Right? And so lack of knowledge, see, can cause destruction in my life. If I don't know, I don't want to be ignorant. Do you want to be ignorant? Ignorant, as some people say, in some parts of the country. I don't know how you spell that one. But I know that, you know, we don't want to have a lack of knowledge. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, and this time verse 13. Knowledge, knowledge. He prayed that we might have knowledge. Knowledge about the love of God. How does the love of God work? How does, not, and think about, I'm talking about all aspects. How does God love you? What's involved with that? What does it mean that God loves you? What does it mean that his love, he loves you, loved you like he does Jesus before the foundation? What does that mean? How does that affect my life? What does that mean to me? How do I live that out? See, that's that knowledge we're talking about. Then you can get over into then how do I love others? You're not going to be able to love others with the love of God unless you've accepted the love of God for yourself. How can I love you unconditionally if I don't know I'm loved unconditionally? You see? But that knowledge, that's not the only thing, but that's one of the things he prayed that we would have that knowledge concerning. Now here in Isaiah 5, verse 13, therefore, he said, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Now how many of you know we still have an enemy? He has not been put away yet, all right? But all of his things, I like what Pastor said, it's like an ant underneath your feet. Just squish it. Amen. I don't know why when he was saying that, I just got this picture of sickness, squish. Lack, squish. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was such a good thing he said this morning. But if we're not careful, our ignorance can cause us to be in a place of captivity. When all while we're free. Amen. Who was it? I believe it, one of the prison door is open. Don't stay inside the prison. You got to walk out the door, right? But if you don't know the door is open, how can you walk out? See, what you know is so important. So look over at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to God. How many of you love the word of God tonight? Amen. We love God's word. A couple of this section and then one more and we'll be done. Starting in verse 2, grace and peace, he said, be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And again, not just acquainted knowledge, not just like, you know, well, I know how to, you know, this watch, I know how to, I can, here. It's there, so I know how to put this watch on. I'm going to give you all the knowledge I have concerning this watch. I know how, there it snapped. I know how to set the time. It's got a couple other buttons. I pushed that one accidentally, and the stopwatch one. I didn't know it had that on it. At one time, I don't know any, really. It does, there's a lot of dials. I have no idea what those dials do. And if you take this apart, I have no idea. You know what I know if you take this watch apart? Time to buy a new watch, because I'm not fixing it. I can't fix it. Going to buy a new watch, right? But you know, there's somebody that knows. They built that watch. They know that watch. That's the type of knowledge he's talking about. That you can take this, we can take God's word, all right, and know how to apply it and how it works in these situations. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Boy, if you haven't got that mark in your Bible, mark that, all things. Boy, that's so, wow. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, power. Where are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or agape love. For if these things be in you and you abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That knowledge. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's end here. Now, we mentioned earlier, it was either the latter part of December, sometime in there when I preached and that, gone to these verses and talked about if we're going to go on in 2019, we got to forget the past. We got to let things, that's the start. That's the start of this process of getting this knowledge incorporated. It's not, now listen, don't forget everything you ever learned. That's not what he's saying. But don't live in that. Be always, always. Now it's not just to hear something new. And that's not what we're talking about either. Well, I got to hear something new. No, we're not talking about that either. Because some people, you know, they desire to hear something new. They'll just, they talked about that in the book of Acts, that they just came together every day there in Greece, in Athens, just to hear something new. Well, we're not talking about that kind of knowledge. We're talking about the knowledge that comes from God and God's word. Okay? Now, I say this to the students all the time. I've said this for years. You know, I've been at this over 38 and a half years now. Okay? And every time, if I'm seeing something in the word of God, and I'm the only one that I can find that thinks that, I got to stop and say, okay, Tad, why you? Why are you the only one? Because the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established, not only from the scriptures, but also that's a good practice. Two or three ministers that you respect, all right, that have been there. And they've got knowledge in the word of God. Now, no minister knows everything. Let me say that again. Let me say it this second. No minister, no Christian, nobody knows everything. Paul said, I know in part and I see in part. But here, how many of you know we can increase, as he said here, the part that we do know? But here's how Paul went about this. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, in context, he's talking about all the accolades he ever did, all the things he had ever accomplished, all those things, good or bad, he counted them for loss that he might gain this knowledge that he said is so excellent. Amen. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, that I might know him. All these things, Paul said, I did all these things. All these things have come before. I'm laying them aside that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now here again, here's Paul, who was very learned in the religion of the Jews. You know, he was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Yeah, he's a Pharisee. He persecuted the church because he thought they were a false. And then he met Jesus. Amen. Then he switched from persecuting the church to persecuting the devil. All right. But he said all these things. I did all those things, but I'm counting those as loss. And how many of you, by this time, he'd also established churches. He'd raised up churches, raised up other ministers, had done some great things. He said, I'm counting that. I'm putting that down that I might know him, that I might know him. Why? Because, let me say this way, it's bad English, but him is better to know than me. I need to know more of him. John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. That I might know him and my knowledge of him so much so that I acknowledge more that he's in me and I'm in him than I acknowledge myself. Amen. And we've seen men and women. We've seen them. We've seen some that have lived that way. Brother Hank talked about he didn't go years, not even really realize he had a body, not have any. You know, I used to think, what in the world? How, what do you mean? I'm understanding it now. Because he was acknowledging more of him than he was himself. Living in more of a reality of being in Christ than being in this flesh. Oh yeah, we have to take care of this flesh, obviously. But being in him, glory to God. The knowledge of him. Hallelujah. And so, this is something we all can do and all should be doing. And so go to the Word of God on purpose. Father, today I come before your Word. I come in the name of Jesus, Father. You could pray this prayer for yourself ahead of time. Just pray Ephesians 1 or any of these prayers. Father, I'm going to look at your Word today. I thank you, Father. I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to teach me and guide me. Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth today. I like to pray where Jesus said, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand and you be converted, then I should heal you. I like to pray that, Father, give me ears to hear and eyes to see and heart to understand. You see, not just for you preachers, it's not just about reading the Bible to get sermons. No, no, no. For all of us, it's about reading the Word to get that knowledge, the knowledge of him that passes understanding, to know the love of Christ, to know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power. Glory to God. And then Ephesians 3 adds, he said, that same power that works in you, it's in you. That power is in you. Well, what's it in there? How do I get it to activate? How do I get it to work? What do I do? What, you know, it takes some knowledge, right? You know, a lot of things in life have potential, but when you have the knowledge how to activate it, you turn potential into strength. You turn potential into action. You turn potential into the desired result when you have the knowledge of how to activate and how to walk in it. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Father, we thank you for this time we've had tonight to worship you. Oh, Father. Father, we just trust that this our worship was as rich for you and as pleasing to you as it was for us, just to think about how great you are, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, I pray right now for these. I pray this prayer that Paul prayed, that you would give unto each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you. Father, let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Let us know, Father God, let us know by experience what is the hope, the confident expectation of your divine summons and calling on our life, and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, both in what we have inherited and what you have inherited. And Father, what is the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised Jesus from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and gave him to be the head over church, the head of the church of all things. Father, that and we are his body, he is the head, and we are complete in him. Oh, Father, we thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Our prayer team is going to come. You know, the first thing to get to this knowledge is you have to know, you have to know Christ. All right? You have to know him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, don't leave this place tonight without coming to know him. The guys are going to be over here on my left. The ladies over here on my right. You come down, pray with them. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. If you have any need whatsoever, come pray with them, and they will help you to get an answer to that. Especially if you don't know Christ tonight, you've walked away, you need to come back to and right relationship with the Father from your standpoint. He hasn't left you, but you can walk away from fellowship with him. You can come back and get that taken care of tonight. Glory to God. Amen. If you have any type of prayer need whatsoever, you come down here in just a moment. Connection team, would you please find our first-time guests tonight, that those that were here, let's give them another hand clap. Our first time guests, welcome tonight. Pastor Hagin will be back Sunday morning. He won't be here Wednesday night, but he'll be here Sunday morning. But you want to come, you always want to hear Pastor Hagin minister the Word of God. Hallelujah. It was today's service. Boy, how exciting that was. Just to You know, I was wondering who's going to take the first run in the half sanctuary, but nobody took off. I was waiting for somebody. I might have taken off with them if they'd gone. I don't know. I was getting excited there. I was looking for a hanky. If I'd have had a hanky, I'd have been waving. Woo, glory to God. Get Pentecostal in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand together. Anything we need to mention other than reminder, there's no office. Nobody's here tomorrow at the offices. Have a day off. And so but if you need emergency, please call the number. Somebody will get there to minister to you. All right. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them in the love of the Lord. And you can be dismissed. Amen.